Hello, Vancouver. I'm Temple Lentz, and this is Hello, Vancouver. We have got a fantastic show for you today. We're going to be speaking with Craig Pridemore from Columbia River Mental Health Services and Erica Laws from Impactful Women Northwest. We have also got original music from Vancouver's own River Twain, and we'll have the community calendar where we talk about events that are coming up right here in Southwest Washington. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Temple Lentz, and this is Hello Vancouver. So we're here now with Erica Laws, founder of Impactful Women Northwest. Hi, Erica.
Hi.
Thank you for joining me.
Of course. My pleasure.
So let's just go right to it. What is Impactful Women Northwest?
Well, Impactful Women Northwest is something that I created based on a lot of evenings I spent at a lot of networking groups.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And it was great because I got to meet so many people and see how a lot of people run their events.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved a lot of the aspects of the events I was heading to. And I also saw that there was an opportunity to create something that was a little different.
Different how? Like what was missing that you wanted to add, or what was wrong with the other ones?
Well, nothing was wrong per se. It was really I wanted to make it affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Women that are starting their own businesses, or if they're paying for their own type of advertising or marketing, it can get kind of spendy.
Yeah.
And a lot of the events I would go to either had a membership fee, or it had something where you had to pay a lot to go, or you had to commit your time all the time to go, which is great. And there's definitely times you want to use that. And sometimes you just want to hang out with like-minded people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you don't necessarily want to pay to go to something like that.
Sure.
And so I decided to create the social hour, which is kind of how we eased into it. So I was like, I'm going to create an event where women can come for free, where there's no kind of memberships. There's no commitments. It's, hey, if you're drawn to show up at this event, show up at this event. You bring people to the restaurants on a Monday night when normally it's typically slow. And the people that come, they come because they want to be there. So a free event, a lot of people will blow off, or they're like, oh, well, I'll sign up. And so, but that's okay, because if you can't make it, it's not like you're out anything and you don't feel obligated to go.
Right.
The obligation is the connections that you make. And so one of the best things about Impactful Women is that everyone there is there because they really want to be there. So it's really about that.
So they're mostly business owners?
They're either business owners, they're business development reps, or they're just people that want to be involved in the community. So they want to meet other women that are positive and upbeat, and the energy is always really good.
Mm-hmm.
People are always really welcoming. And so that's one of the things I've tried to really foster, that environment of positivity and really there to help each other. So when I started the social hour, it was literally just 2 hours of social interaction. We did a break in the middle where all we did was raffle prizes, because everyone likes a prize. I do. And so I was like, well, let's do raffle prizes. And then also gives, you know, them a 30-second commercial to talk about their business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really low-cost way to get your product out there, get your name out there, and then also talk about your business or what event you have going on. So then I was like, well, darn, there's something missing. I want to have education now, but I don't want to do it where you have to show up to an event and you have to hear whatever's going on at that moment. So I do targeted quarterly conferences. And what I mean by that is it's a separate conference. We do it on the second Monday of every quarter. So there's four a year. And those are only $15. Again, going with the theme of affordable. And it's 2 hours of really high quality subject matter experts.
So what are some of the subjects that you've had at the conferences?
Well, our first conference, we kind of jumped right out into marketing strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And our very first speaker was Ronnie Noyes. And she was right on board, and she's been amazing ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And Danielle Louise Ross, which is a very, very popular marketing branding coach over in Portland. Because I do something a little different than a lot of the groups here, too, is I go back and forth from Portland to Vancouver. You know, everyone does business on both sides. Why not make it easier?
Sure.
And traffic sometimes for Portlanders coming over here, but they still do it. And I have a pretty significant amount of women that come over.
That's great.
So they can come over during that time, or they can go to the conference, which again, we have it in light therapy. Mm-hmm. So it's a very calming, relaxing location, and they love it. The owners there are fabulous. And then we normally have catering. Mm-hmm. So with that $15, you get two really high quality speakers and you get appetizers. Joe Foodie normally does my appetizers.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Amazing. Yeah. So we added that in. And so that was for the second year.
That's great.
So then this year.
What are you adding this year?
We have two things we added. So we were like, well, this isn't enough. So we had our first all day women's conference in January.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. We had it at the Quarry.
Mm-hmm.
And we had about 75 women that were all looking to get educated on, you know, how to start their business or how to grow their business. And so we had 10 speakers. The whole day. We did it all day.
Mm-hmm.
It was only $30 for a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And we included lunch and all of those speakers.
That's a pretty good deal.
And in the speakers, we had six main speakers. And then we had like Kristen Taylor. She's a very big strategic marketer and mm-hmm. locally. And there's a whole bunch of Brittany Nelson. There was really good quality speakers at that event. Stephanie Arnheim, who runs eWomen.
Mm-hmm.
So there was really good speakers and the people got a lot out of it. But we also did breakout sessions. So in the breakout sessions, we did photography lessons, how to take a good picture, you know, to kind of mix up the day of education. And running a networking group that is low cost and maintaining that is a challenge. And we have instituted a board. So we have put together a board because we are turning it into a nonprofit. And one of the main reasons this year I decided to do that is because I want to be able to do more programming. I want to be able to provide mentoring. I want to have women business owners that are just starting out have an actual woman business owner to talk them
sure.
through it, or more classes and things that we can do, but maintain that low cost.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get people on board, sponsors and people that are excited about helping bridge that gap between men-owned businesses and women-owned businesses,
mm-hmm.
that's a win.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about that. Why the focus on women-owned businesses?
The percentage of women-owned businesses and men-owned businesses has definitely gotten closer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I want to bridge it even closer of the amount of people. Men are amazing. I love men. And don't tell my husband.
Yeah. I love certain men.
Yes, I love men-owned businesses. I shop with men. I have men people that I buy stuff from, I promise. But I want to just bridge that gap because I feel like I've always worked with men. I've been in sales my whole life. I was a sales manager, mostly men, and on the sales floor. And I was connecting with them. But the minute I came to outside sales and started networking, I went to 3 events a day for 3 months straight when I started in digital marketing, outside sales. I was like, what do I do here? This is like totally Greek to me. So I went out and I went to all of these different things and I found the same thing. Really reserved, you know, didn't really know how to sell themselves and were kind of feeling like, I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to talk about myself. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to brag. But they were really talented. And it's like, I see all of these things from coaching, all of these salespeople that talked over the phone for so long. I'm like, I see what you're missing here. I can help you. You know, let's give you some education. They don't give you sales 101 when you get a business license. They don't. And most of the time, it's not networking 101 either, unless you pay a significant amount of money to do that. Well, Impactful Women gives you a starting place. It's like the starter gateway to networking in general. I always say it's a gateway. It's kind of a gateway because there's those bigger membership groups like Amazing Groups, Women Entrepreneurs Organization, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. eWomen and The Link, and there's so many women's groups out there. And it's almost like you go to Impactful Women, you make your connections, and then you graduate to another membership group where you're actually investing more money because it's you're at a higher income. But don't get me wrong, women that have higher incomes come to Impactful Women too, but mm-hmm. mostly because they want to help other women
Which is great. Which is that's a wonderful feature of your group.
Yes.
As far as women of different levels of experience being there to support each other.
Yes, absolutely. So hopefully that answers your question in a really long-winded kind of way.
It was fabulous.
Okay, good. We have it. We have a website. So impactfulwomennw.com. So we have a website. It's got the information. There's a little link to get on there.
Excellent. So what else? What else is in the future? After this, what's coming up for Impactful Women?
Oh, well, as soon as we become a 501c3, we're going to be adding more programming.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be probably doing more workshops in all-day workshops and seminars and retreats. And we're really wanting to get those people to get more education. And then we start eventually want to reach into colleges.
Oh,
and
great.
Start some mentoring with some women in college classes and getting them excited, you know, talking about confidence and self-awareness and how running a business is a lot about organization and helping them with those types of skills. And you know, everyone that's invested, my board is amazing. They're all really invested in helping other women regardless of where they're at.
That's great.
It's really about taking women to the next level.
Wonderful. Can't wait to see how it grows and changes and develops. And it's wonderful that you started it. We've been here with Erica Laws, founder of Impactful Women Northwest. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. It's been awesome.
Next up, we have some local music. I was really excited to have local band River Twain on as our inaugural musical guest for the live stage version of Hello Vancouver. And what you're about to hear is a recording from that show of River Twain performing their original song, Then I Laugh.
Now, are you guys ready for a musical guest? I am really excited about our inaugural musical guest, River Twain. They play Train Hoppin' Dust Bowl Soul. And the first song they're going to play for you is one of my favorites off of their current album, The Dirty Truth. It's Then I Laugh. Please welcome River Twain.
Well, this morning, I was lying in my bed. I thought of you, just wouldn't raise his head. Then my chest, and it made me so sick.
So sad.
Girl, I cried and cried. Then I laughed. 'Cause I'm such a fool for being so in love with you. I wanna bring you joy, girl, I wanna share my cup with you. And there ain't no way I could ever stop this love from pouring out of me. When I'm out on trying to make a little dollar, sometimes I think I hear you hollering from around the corner, but it ain't you, and it makes me so sick.
So sad.
Girl, I cry and cry, then I laugh, 'cause I'm such a fool for being so in love with you. I wanna bring you joy, girl, I wanna share my cup with you, and there ain't no way I could ever stop this love from pouring out of me. Hey, no way, never stop, no, no, no. Hey, no way, always see you flying. Girl, you look so beautiful, and you ain't even trying, are you, honey? When you ain't around, girl, it makes me so sad.
So sad.
Girl, I cry and cry, but then I laugh, 'cause I'm such a fool for being so in love with you. I wanna bring you joy, girl, I wanna share my cup with you, and
Hey, everybody. We're back with friend of the show, Jim Maines from High Five Media and Identity Clark County.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing?
And Jim is joining us to do our community calendar.
That's right, the community calendar. This is exciting, Temple.
It is. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about upcoming events that are happening around Vancouver and Clark County in the next few weeks. So this show we're recording in the middle of April, so we're going to talk about things coming up towards the end of April into May and maybe the beginning of June if we still have time.
Gosh, and it is a packed calendar.
There is so much going on.
There's so much happening in this community.
Yeah, it's basically like winter happens and then as spring comes, so does every event in the community.
That's so true. So what do we got first, Temple?
Well, so actually related to spring, this is a really cool one if you haven't been. The Lilac Days at the Hulda Clogger Lilac Gardens in Woodland. It starts on April 22nd and runs up through May 14th, which is Mother's Day.
Correct.
And it's this amazing lilac farm up in Woodland, and you can go and wander around, see and smell all of these hundreds of lilac flowers that are blooming, and they were planted by a pioneer's daughter on this preserved historic homestead.
And you know, I've been there three times, mm-hmm. and it is unbelievable, and it's so cool to think it's only like a 20-minute drive to get there, and then you see this, it's like a little house, mm-hmm. and I believe you can tour it if you want to.
I think so.
But the grounds are just unbelievable. Like you said, the smell is just awesome.
Yeah. So, and you know, they do it for about 3 weeks leading up to Mother's Day. So whether you've got a mother who loves lilacs or someone else in your life, check it out because it is really unique and something special for this area.
And if you'd like more information on it, check out their website at lilacgardens.com.
Now, this isn't an event yet. There is an event related to it, but wanted to let folks know about this. The YWCA of Clark County is accepting nominations for the Val Joshua Awards through May 5th. And what the Val Joshua Awards are is they're for any adult or youth, there are two different awards, who is practicing racial justice and social justice in Clark County. Qualifications are leadership in civil rights and working toward eliminating racism, showing significant involvement in working for peace, justice, freedom, and dignity, and a demonstrated commitment to self-determined social change. If you know anybody, or if you yourself might be a good candidate for this award, the Val Joshua Awards, they're taking nominations through May 5th.
And so to nominate someone, I just have to go to their website?
Yep.
Okay, and then fill out the form.
They've got the form. They have the links all up there. And that website is ywcaclarkcounty.org.
Cool. Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
It's coming.
The Columbia River Mental Health Organization, Services is their last, is having a Cinco de Mayo fundraiser.
Oh my gosh, on May 5th.
Who'd have thunk it?
That is really cool. Also at Warehouse 23.
Yeah.
6 p.m. And this is really cool. Come on out. And there's going to be some good food. Mm-hmm. A lot of Mexican food, I'm guessing.
I would assume so.
And
I think they're going to have Mexican folk dancers.
No way.
Yeah.
So Mexican food, entertainment.
Yeah. And fundraising for a great
delicious.
Cause.
Sounds delicious.
One of the things that the Columbia River Mental Health Foundation is doing is a Hopes and Dreams grant program. And the gala, this event, will help them raise money to help with the social and emotional needs of children and families with children, as well as helping to meet the mental health needs of others in the community. Columbia River Mental Health is one of our area's largest mental health service providers in the community, and they are also doing a lot of remarkable work to help people move forward in their lives.
So if people would like to sign up and get involved with mm-hmm. the organization, just to learn more, check out their website. It's crmhfoundation.org.
There are a couple of cities in our county that have First Friday events.
That is true.
And so coming up May 5th, downtown Vancouver and downtown Camas are having their First Friday events. For downtown Vancouver, this is growing and getting bigger and bigger every month. We've got local galleries, local businesses that stay open late. Now, one thing, this will be the last First Friday for the North Bank Art Gallery.
That's right. I read about that just recently in the newspaper.
Yeah, they're closing. One of the problems with growth and prosperity in downtown Vancouver is the rents go up.
They just start skyrocketing.
Yeah. And so this art gallery wasn't able to find another home. They're doing some really interesting work. They've been very community focused. They're a nonprofit, and they're having a retrospective exhibit on May 5th.
Well, and you know, North Bank Gallery, I mean, really, they have helped they were the trailblazers.
They really were.
Totally revitalizing downtown and bringing in art, bringing in culture. I mean, we really have to give them props for what they've done.
Absolutely. Everybody involved, from the founders to the current board members, and the artists who work there, are just people who helped make downtown Vancouver the prosperous place that it is now.
So, Temple, on May 5th, is this the art walk where they're going to have, like, the sidewalk art around town?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be really cool.
It's already out. Yeah. Yeah. So it's this, they went around and they painted, they called it Rain-ku. And so it's like haiku, like poetry.
Oh, that's what it
was. I know. And they painted it with a paint that only shows up when it rains. Which...
Seriously?
I know. I don't know what the paint is. I don't know how they did it.
Well,
but
hopefully it's a little misty that evening.
I know.
Or they'll have, like, spray bottles.
Maybe, yeah. Somebody will be standing by each one.
Yeah. That's really, really cool.
Yeah. And since, like, we live in a place where it's usually raining, that's a really neat idea. So you can go downtown and walk around and see all of that.
So we'll have Rain-ku in downtown Vancouver, and then Camus is doing something around the Garden Gnome?
Yeah. This is... Okay. I will be honest. This is weird. But kind of a cool weird. I like garden gnomes. So they're calling it the Garden Gnome and Fairy Gala. Hmm. And they're going to have gnome and fairy crafts for people to do, and a hunt, like a scavenger hunt, to find the little garden gnomes have been hidden around in each business.
So they hide them around the business, almost like an Easter egg hunt.
But for garden gnomes.
That's kind of cool.
I don't know if you get to keep the gnome if you find it, but I really hope so.
How are we going to decide which one to go to?
I know, we're going to have to, like,
it's really cool.
Start at one and then get to the other.
Oh, it's just so great to see so many wonderful things happening in the county.
It is. There's so much going on. Now, coming up on May 6th, which is a Saturday, is the Columbia Springs Kids Fishing Festival. This is so cool. If you have any kids who are aged 5 to 14, they're eligible to fish for trout with a fishing mentor that the Columbia Springs people provide. So every registered kid gets a fishing pole and tackle that they can take home. And then, you know, there's lunch, there's activities, they can catch water bugs, there's a scavenger hunt, crafts. It's just, like, for kids who like being outdoors, or if you want to get your kid outdoors more, this is just a wonderful way to do it.
You know, and this is so ideal. Having a young son, I realize the importance of, you know, turning off the TV, turning off, you know, they want to grab the little phones and play with all the colors, but to get them outside. And it's so cool to watch kids get outside, even for the first time, just to see.
Absolutely.
You know, what a lake is like, or, you know, the whole experience of fishing and putting on the, you know, little worm or the bait. I mean, it's crazy. It's gross. I would never want to do it, but it's great for a lot of those outdoor
kids. But I'm
going to
make my kid do it.
I'm going to totally make them do it for me. They will put the bait on. So, Temple, we also have the walk run for the animals.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, so this one's put on by the Humane Society of Southwest Washington.
Right.
And it's going to be at Esther Short Park. It's at 9 a.m. on May 6th. And I mean, we're talking over 2,000 people show up, and they have about 1,000 dogs. It's the largest gathering of people passionate about pets, and they've got two different courses to choose from. And so they can do, I believe there's a 3-mile walk along the Columbia River. There's a 5K timed through Fort Vancouver.
Oh, nice.
And I mean, I've done it twice. Have you ever done it?
I've never done it, but I've gone because they have, like, this, they take over the square at the park.
Oh, that's right. And so you, like, just have all the animals everywhere.
And they bring in other, like, cool animals. Like, there was a big turtle there last year.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And I think a goat and a llama.
I remember a guy did the walk, or maybe it was a gal, and she had a surfboard with, like, three dogs on the surfboard.
That's so cool.
It was super cool. And they were just, like, going up and down downtown.
Yeah. Like, I don't really run, but I wanted to go see all the animals because I will try to snuggle a dog if it comes anywhere near me. And it was a snuggle festival at this square. It was just fantastic. And so many people, everybody there is somebody who loves their pet.
They're encouraging everybody to head back to Esther Short Park. There's going to be a party in the park, and there'll be dozens of pet friendly vendors. There's going to be dog and pet demos, and there'll be awards for your dog and you.
And if you want to find out more, you can go to southwesthumane.org. Spell that out, southwesthumane.org.
And Temple, we cannot forget Hello Vancouver on June 28th at Warehouse 23. It's the premier talk show in Vancouver.
It is. And I understand that you and I are both involved in it.
Temple, you are the host of the show.
That's right. And you are the host of the pre-show.
That's right. And it's going to be a lot of fun. The community gathers to celebrate our community.
Yes. And that's June 28th at Warehouse 23, 7 p.m. And the website is hellovancouver.us. So Jim, thank you for joining me and talking about our community, sharing the events coming up.
It was a blast, Temple. Thank you for having me.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm still Temple Lentz, and this is still Hello Vancouver. We've got an interview with Craig Pridemore from Columbia River Mental Health Services coming up, and after that, we'll have one more song from River Twain. As we mentioned in the community calendar, Columbia River Mental Health Services Foundation has an event coming up on May 5th. If you're interested in supporting that organization, you can find out more at their website about the Cinco de Mayo fundraiser they have on May 5th, crmhs.org. Now let's get on with the interview. So I'm sitting here with Craig Pridemore, CEO of Columbia River Mental Health Services.
Hi, Temple.
Thanks for joining us, Craig.
Well, it's good to be here.
Well, so tell me, what is Columbia River Mental Health? What do you guys do?
Well, Columbia River Mental Health Services is the oldest and largest provider of behavioral health services in Southwest Washington. We were actually, when I say behavioral health, I'm talking mental health services as well as chemical dependency treatment.
Okay.
So, you know, heroin recovery or alcoholism, those sorts of things. So we do both of those. And we were formed in 1942. It originally started as a youth counseling service by a local librarian. And it's grown over the past 75 years. And so we provide that. We're located wholly within Clark County, although we also serve people in Cowlitz County just because it's more convenient for them for their services. But we're really focused here, right here in Clark County. And
So what's the scope of services that you provide? Are you a direct service provider?
Yeah, okay. We're a direct service provider, and we work under contracts with managed care organizations to treat their members. And then we also have commercial insurance clients that we also serve. And we provide kind of a mid-range of mental health chemical dependency treatment. There's kind of lower-end people who are really not struggling with too many problems, that, you know, the easier things. And frankly, they can't qualify for the services that we offer.
Ah.
We are predominantly Medicaid, I suppose I should point that out as well. So we're talking about predominantly low-income people, although, like I say, we serve the full range. And then we also don't do the really high end. So at the kind of the highest end you have is the state hospitals, Eastern or Western state hospitals. There's a level down from that that's called ENT, Evaluation and Treatment, and that's an inpatient care facility here in Vancouver that is actually run by Telecare, and they provide that service. The next level down is the level of service that we go up to. And so we also run a residential program. That's kind of that next layer down. And so we have 32 beds here at Elohan Place. So we provide that level.
So, Craig, I heard that Clark and Skamania counties are moving into fully integrated Medicaid services. But what does that mean?
Well, if you look at this historically, you know, like many things, a lot of particularly Medicaid services or Medicare services, government services, they tend to be very siloed. And so you have one agency that's doing mental health. You have a different agency that's doing chemical dependency. Mm-hmm. You have a different agency that's doing primary care, mm-hmm. physical health, the regular, what we right. normally think of as health care. And because the funding is separate, the policies get developed separately, mm-hmm. and they're run by, you know, the mental health is run by mental health experts. Mm-hmm. They don't know anything about primary care. They don't know anything about chemical dependency.
Right.
Actually, and mental health often does because they so often co-occur. But, mm-hmm. But frequently, they're just working in their own silos. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the funding streams have come historically. And in Clark County, we have had the county government through a quasi-governmental mm-hmm. entity called the Regional Support Network. All of the money used to flow to them for chemical dependency and mental health services, and then it would get contracted out to providers like us.
Okay.
So beginning April 1st, go back a little bit further, the legislature in 2013 passed a bill that said we're going to essentially get government further away from this, not out of it, but further away from it. And rather than the state sending money to the county, mm-hmm. the state is now has contracts now with managed care organizations, specifically Molina Community Health Plans of Washington and Beacon mm-hmm. Healthcare. They have contracts directly with them, and now we're contracting with those private sector folks who okay. are our contractors. So that's one side of it. And that kind of consolidates all the funding streams mm-hmm. because they have the funding for all three of those categories. Mm-hmm. What we're going to try to do now in the goal of this change is to do fully integrated managed care. And what that means is that when you're treating somebody for a mental health problem, you're also looking at their physical health problems and you're also looking at their chemical dependency
okay.
kinds of problems. And the thinking on that is, if you think about it, if you have somebody who, for example, is suffering from diabetes, mm-hmm. it is very difficult for them to respond to treatment, follow their regimen, check their blood sugars, and do all of that if they're also dealing with a mental health condition.
Sure, sure.
So the primary care doctor would historically, you know, prescribe them insulin or whatever kinds of things they would need. But they're not thinking about, is this person mm-hmm. mentally capable of fulfilling this treatment program? Mm-hmm. And so the healthcare outcomes were frequently not as good.
Right.
So what we're going to attempt to do through this process is have a lot more communication between the physical health doctor, the mental health doctor, chemical dependency, if it's applicable, and make sure that we're treating that whole person.
So how will that work? Because that is different providers. So how mm-hmm. will they communicate differently?
A big part of it is getting them to speak the same language, because mm-hmm. They're all healthcare entities, but they're so separate, they really do speak in different terms. We've started at Columbia River, we've really put our Battleground office that we opened, Battleground office, we've co-located with Rose Medical Group, which is kind of a new primary care provider in Clark County. So we're in the same building as them. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the first step. Oh. Now the next step is to be getting them, having, you know, my doctors talking to their doctors, and then we start working on how do we coordinate that care. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of it's electronic, some of it's face-to-face, but it'll be them talking about what do we do best for this particular client.
Okay.
And the hope is that you get better healthcare outcomes. So take the person with diabetes. If they're responding well to their diabetes treatment, not only are they a lot healthier, but they cost the system a whole lot less money.
Right.
Just because they're responding. They're not in the emergency rooms as often. That's the real goal of fully integrated managed care.
So that has just started. And yeah. Clark and Skamania counties are doing it a little differently than the rest of the state?
Is that the case? I mentioned the bill that the legislature passed mm-hmm. in 2013 that mandates this. Mm-hmm. They mandated it as of 2020. So the whole system, the whole okay. state must do this by 2020. Clark and Skamania counties are the only two in the state that opted to go what they call the early adopter route. Mm-hmm. So we implemented this, or at least have begun to implement. Like I say, it's a multi-year process, and we're working through now these new payment methodologies. Mm-hmm. How do we communicate to managed care organizations that mm-hmm. understand physical health but not mental health?
Right.
We're going through those kinds of processes now. Start getting down to the real work of integrating the care itself.
So do you see that happening, the process being complete then before 2020? When would you see it happening?
Yeah, I really hope for Clark County, I hope it by 2020, we're going to be fully implemented. We're mm-hmm. fully integrated and fully effective mm-hmm. At this. the state's, like I mentioned, the state's goal is that this will happen in 18 months. I don't think that's realistic. I think it's a lot more complicated and a lot harder to get people in these different professions to be working together. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how it works out.
How will you measure success?
The state will actually have performance measures about success. And so it'll look at the state hospital stays that people have. Mm-hmm. A big deal. You know, if we can do our work in the community really effectively, people are less likely to decompensate and end up having to go to that really high cost care at the state hospital. So that'll be a big measure. Mm-hmm. A big measure is getting people with mental illness out of emergency rooms. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully we're treating them earlier and they're not costing very expensive in emergency rooms, of course. Yeah. So we can do that at much less cost. Jail incarcerations is a great example. Mm-hmm. If you can get people in a good mental health treatment program, a great many, Sheriff estimates 60% of the people in the county jail are suffering from mental illness.
Wow.
If we can provide better care to them up front, maybe they're not in the jail, and the county is saving money because they're not having to incarcerate as many people.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. It's really an exciting era, I think, and I'm really happy to be part of it. It's one of my primary interests in taking this job was to really be a part of that kind of transformation.
Well, it's exciting to see that it's happening here and that it's happening early, and we'll be able to track it and see how it helps.
Yeah, we were strong proponents of Clark County going this route and choosing this. This was our county councilors, commissioners then, who made that decision to mm-hmm. go forward. I think it was the right decision. I think there's definitely going to be bumps along the road, and we're going to make some mistakes and things like that. But by God, it's not going to be any different in 2020. Let's get that work underway.
So another question that I had for you was I've been hearing and seeing a lot in the news lately about prescription drug addiction, and that's a shift that we're seeing a lot more of. Is that happening in Clark County as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's a growing national problem, although I think people have finally started to get real serious about addressing mm-hmm. it. To go back, this isn't a particularly new thing. It was back in the 1990s and mm-hmm. into the early aughts, medical providers were encouraged to start giving out opioids as a pain reliever. And opioids work really well for that. The problem is they're very badly addictive. Yeah. And so people have started getting addicted. If the price of those can be very high, so they go off that and then they start on heroin or some other street medications if they can't buy the prescription drugs on the streets, mm-hmm. and they're pretty prevalent there. We run, in addition to our other services, a methadone clinic at Columbia River, mm-hmm. And we treat about 350 people, predominantly from Clark County, to help get them at least to methadone is not a great solution.
Right.
Hopefully it's a temporary one mm-hmm. that's helping you to wean off because you are still addicted to a narcotic. Mm-hmm. But if we can get people into that kind of a program, they're functional. You know, they can go to work and they can really live a pretty normal life. But it's for the rest of your life until you can get tapered off of it, just reduce the dosage and things. And that's the kind of service we provide. I wanted to get figures before I came about how many of our clients are former heroin users versus prescription. Mm-hmm. I know anecdotally that a great many of the clients we see are prescription, mm-hmm. got into opioids because of prescriptions, not because of heroin or any of the illegal street drugs.
Yeah. So what kind of support exists for people who have found themselves in this position? Because something that's interesting, I mean, for the most part, people don't wake up and say, I'd like to become a drug addict. But it's especially unintentional, I think, for folks who end up, they had a bad back, they went to the doctor, and it suddenly, you know, not so much suddenly, but over the course of months, they've now become a drug addict. What kind of support exists for these folks?
Well, hopefully we're one of those forms of support mm-hmm. that we can help to transition people off of that. But the circumstance you described is exactly the way most people are getting into mm-hmm. those mm-hmm. Drugs. And what happens is, so they're being treated for that backache, they're gradually building up, you know, they're gradually building an addiction, mm-hmm. and they don't realize it. They're just dealing with their back. And, you know, then eventually it becomes time to wean them off of that treatment. And they can't mm-hmm. because they are addicted to it and they have that craving and that desire. And you really have to have suffered from an addiction mm-hmm. to really understand how really compelling a force that is. on your psyche. So through programs, opioid treatment programs like mm-hmm. methadone or Suboxone, there's a great product out there now called Vivitrol that's mm-hmm. really helpful with urges, and in coordination with proper medical care, because
right.
it's a serious issue when you've been on oxycodone or some of the pain reliever drugs that people are getting addicted to, and you get pulled off. I mean, you can die. It's got to be handled properly. So there are definitely things that can be done about that, and we really focus that mm-hmm. at Columbia River.
Excellent. And is there work being done on the front end of that to coordinate with medical providers mm-hmm. to keep this from happening?
There is, and I think too late, not mm-hmm. too late, but later than it should have been.
Yeah.
But the medical community was the one that was getting pushed. I mean, the American Medical Association was encouraging the use of these mm-hmm. kinds of drugs mm-hmm. because they were so effective at alleviating pain. They didn't quite realize just how easy it was for people to get into the trap.
Right.
And that's what occurred. So the medical community is now, I think, overwhelmingly now. For a long time, you had, of course, pain clinics and people who were making pretty good mm-hmm. money kind of keeping mm-hmm. people on these drugs. There's a lot fewer of those now who are taking that kind of an attitude. There's a much bigger push now to get people off. There's been a lot of lawsuits. I think there's going to be more in the future. Mm-hmm. So everybody's kind of now pulling back and saying, okay, let's deal with the problem here
right.
and figure out where this fits into our medical system in the future.
Well, that's really good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I think 5-10 years from now, we'll see a much better solution to that. We still have a huge issue with the street drugs and heroin mm-hmm. Across the country. And a lot of those people started out on prescription drugs mm-hmm. and then heroin became the cheaper substitute for that. And suddenly they're on yeah. heroin. We still see those kinds of problems and we'll need to continue to deal with those. Hopefully the prescription medicine is one we're really beginning to get on top of now.
So you've got Columbia River Mental Health, which is your organization, and you said that's the largest provider. Mm-hmm. What else exists in Clark County?
There's a number of providers, both for-profit and not-for-profits, predominantly not-for-profit mm-hmm. when you get to Medicaid. Mm-hmm. Frankly, Medicaid does not pay terribly well, so mm-hmm. making money doing Medicaid is really hard, and we see a lot of the for-profit companies getting out of providing Medicaid just because it is difficult to provide. But we've got some great providers here. Mm-hmm. You know, in some degree, we're competitors, but we really try to function as partners. Mm-hmm. We have a shared mission. We don't have a killer instinct to try to drive each other out of business. Community Services Northwest is probably our largest mental health provider, our competition slash mm-hmm. partner, a very good organization run by Bunk Morin, good friend, who does a great job at that. So they're about half the size of Columbia River. In mm-hmm. mental health. You've got Lifeline Connections that deals predominantly with chemical dependency. They do inpatient alcohol and drug services, but they also provide mental health services, and they're expanding into their mental health share. There's a lot of great children's mental health providers mm-hmm. Here in Clark County. Children's Center, I think, is the largest. Family Solutions, a very good organization, provides a lot of care for children. And, you know, I should say we do both adult and children at Columbia mm-hmm. River, but these are more children's focused. Catholic Community Services does really high intensity child and crisis child mental health services and does a fantastic job. I think we've got about 15 providers in Clark County of various sizes, but a great bunch of people, and they do some really good work. I mentioned Telecare earlier on the ENT Evaluation Treatment mm-hmm. Center. Mm-hmm. They have 11 beds doing really doing God's work with some really high-intensity clients with real heavy needs. So I think we're really lucky in Clark County that we do have a good network of providers.
Wonderful. You know, historically, or back in the olden days, there used to be a lot of stigma around mental health and the idea that somebody might need help with mental health. And I say back in the olden days, but I'm not actually talking about very long ago. Is that something that is that you would encounter still today?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think about that. I go back 30 years. I remember back in the 1980s, there was a real push to start bringing it out in the open. You'd have a lot of politicians and the family problems and things. I mean, if you go back to Gerald Ford and, mm-hmm. and Betty Ford and the issues she had. There has been a pretty long and fairly sustained effort to mm-hmm. destigmatize, but we still see it. And I think most people out there, when they think, boy, you know, I've certainly had my bouts of depression that I probably should talk to somebody about. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to admit it. I'll tell you, when I first started Columbia River, it's been a year and a half now. When I first started, I would walk into the building, and I would worry that people would think I was coming in there for services. Hmm. You know, and I've been involved in this industry for the past 15 years, but I still felt that kind of way. Now it's completely gone now because I'm in there every day and all of that stuff, and it just doesn't trouble me. And I certainly know a lot of people, a great many people who suffer mental illnesses, but live perfectly. You wouldn't know they were in services. Mm-hmm. So I think I hope there's some way we can get beyond that. Somehow, you know, you can tell people you have a backache and they don't think less of you as a person.
Right.
Where you tell somebody that you suffer from clinical depression or anxiety, and it's a big deal.
It is.
We tend to think that it's affecting everything the person does, and that's just not the case.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you're talking about the integrated services coming on board where the medical community is trying to treat the whole person, that if we are able to start seeing ourselves that way too, we'll be able to change some of that.
We really should look at it exactly like that. Mm-hmm. Mental illness is in... There are very few cases of mental illness that are not treatable, mm-hmm. And that you can't recover from and live a perfectly normal life. These are one of the great things, too, in the past 30 years is all the progress has been made on brain science. Just mm-hmm. because you have a mental illness doesn't mean your brain can't function. You know, it's a little chemical imbalance. And that's a physical mm-hmm. thing, right? Mm-hmm. So this mental illness is caused by an underlying physical problem, but it's all treatable. It's all something we can deal with. As long as people are willing and comfortable and okay with stepping up and saying, yeah, I got a problem. I could use some help with this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's wonderful to know that there are places like Columbia River Mental Health Services and the many others that you named that are here to help people, to start helping people, and to continue the service. So Columbia River serves primarily folks who have Medicaid, which is the government health care. What else is there for folks who don't have that?
Well, frankly, and this is a really good message to get out, is that virtually everybody out there has access to some means to get the help that they need. Medicaid is a big part for low-income people. Mm-hmm. If you have physical health insurance now, whether it's under Affordable Care Act or whatever kind of physical mm-hmm. health coverage, insurance coverage you have, mental health must be included in that.
Oh,
federal
wow.
government passed a bill, it's been a few years ago now, called Mental Health Parity, and that requires all insurance providers, Washington State passed a few years earlier than that, requires if you cover physical health problems, you must cover mental health as well.
Oh, that's great to
know. So if you've got that, you've got coverage for that. There's also the ability, if you have the ability to pay yourself, any of these mm-hmm. providers, or most of these providers, you can set up just an arrangement like you would to pay for any other health care. Then we're also working real hard at Columbia River. We have a standalone, it's not part of the agency, but it's a standalone foundation called the Columbia River Mental Health Foundation mm-hmm. that we're gearing up that will hopefully pick up some of those folks who have no coverage at all, don't have access to money they can pay for themselves, for whatever reason, don't qualify for Medicaid. Literally anybody in our community should be able to access mental health services mm-hmm. in one form or another. It's just a matter of picking up that phone and getting in touch with the right people.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So Craig Pridemore, CEO of Columbia River Mental Health Services. If people do want to know more, how can they get in touch with you?
The best way is to contact us at the office, area code 360-993-3000, 993-3000. Mm-hmm. You can contact us through the webpage, or at least find out more about us at www.crmhs.org, Columbia River Mental Health Services.org. That's a great way. Of course, everything is on the web now, and we'd love to hear from you.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Temple. And thanks for bringing awareness about this, the issues here to the community. I think it's really important. It's a very important service you've provided.
Absolutely. Thank you. And now we have one more song from local band River Twain. This is their song, People.
People, people, people make me nervous. People, people. Make that dough. Keep on saying yes when deep down the answer's no. I said, people, come on, people. People make me nervous. I said, people, people. People make me nervous. Send our children into battle. For the lies that we believe, we don't know what truly matters until it comes time to grieve. I said, people, come on, people. People make me nervous. People, people. People make me nervous. Nothing. Always keeps his finger perched above the big red button. I said, people, come on, people. People make me nervous. People, people. People make me nervous. Faith in religion. Faith in politicians. Faith in the television, we got no faith in ourselves. Faith in big business, faith in the witness. Faith in the hours and minutes, but we got no faith in ourselves. Faith in the dollar, in the bleached white collar. Can you hear me hollering? Faith in ourselves. Can you hear me hollering? Faith in ourselves.
And that's our show. Thanks again for being here. I'm Temple Lentz, and this has been Hello Vancouver. If you'd like to find out more about Hello Vancouver or check out videos of our live stage show, you can do that at hellovancouver.us. We're produced by High Five Media and look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks.